This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, Erlene McMichael talks with Southwest Michigan Black Heritage Society Executive Director Donna Odom. She tells us why the group is changing its name and mission. But first, the current United States Supreme Court term is nearing its end. A number of decisions on high-profile cases have yet to be issued, including the challenge to same-sex marriage bans in Michigan and other states. Nina Totenberg is legal affairs correspondent for NPR. She has been recognized many times with many awards over the years for her reporting on the Supreme Court. And Nina Totenberg joins us from Washington. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
You have covered a lot of history at the United States Supreme Court. Where does this court case, the oral arguments, and now the pending decision rank in that history that you've had a chance to be witness to?
Well, I think this is right up there. I've covered a lot of historic cases, but June is the month in which the Supreme Court handed down the case of Loving versus Virginia in 1967, in which the court ruled that laws making it a crime for people of different races to marry were unconstitutional. And that was a huge decision, and it very much has come back reflected in the issues now in the same-sex marriage case. It's the case that is most often cited by those who are advocating for the right to marry among same-sex couples. And so there are lots of very big cases in the Supreme Court. So you don't want to ever say, if you cover the court, this is the most important, because always the most important seems to be the one you're covering right that minute. And then the adrenaline goes away, and it doesn't seem like such a big deal anymore 2 or 3 years later. But this is certainly a very historic moment in the history of the country and the court.
You mentioned that parallel to the Loving versus Virginia case. From the other side, for the people who are arguing that the Supreme Court should not strike down the ban in Michigan and other states, do people draw a distinction between same-sex marriage and the Loving versus Virginia case?
The argument that they make is that for virtually all of mankind's time on Earth, as long as we've had laws on marriage, until really only about 10 years ago, was the idea of same-sex marriage given any currency at all. It was always marriage between a man and a woman, that it's procreation that is the basis of marriage. Now, there are obvious answers to that, but that is the argument that advocates for marriage between a man and a woman only make, and for state laws that ban same-sex marriages.
There are, of course, some very high emotions running on both sides of this case, but when the justices sit down and consider this from a legal standpoint, what are the key legal questions they seem to be considering when it comes to same-sex marriage?
Well, the first question that was argued before the court is whether there's a constitutional right to marriage, meaning, in this case, same-sex marriage. Because if there's a constitutional right to marry, which is what the court has said in the past, then does that extend to couples who are of the same sex? And the second question is, if there isn't that constitutional right to marry for same-sex couples, do those states that do not recognize same-sex marriage in their own state, do they nonetheless have to recognize the legitimacy and the legality and the marriage status of those couples who marry in states where it is legal? And that would be, at the moment, about 37 states. So those are the two questions. I do have to say that when this was argued before the court, and it was a very long argument, it was 2.5 hours long, the second question, a lot of the air seemed to go out of the courtroom when that second question was argued. And I don't know what you take from that, but some people take from that that the court was really mainly focused on the first question. And, you know, you would have to say that if you were an odds maker in this case, and I never like to predict these cases, and that's stood me in very good stead for my whole life, but there is a procedural matter that happened this year, which is that the court refused to review lower court decisions striking down bans on same-sex marriage in many places in the country, some of them some of the most conservative places in the country. And so it let stand those lower court decisions, meaning that same-sex marriage became legal in those states for thousands and thousands of people who got married. And then finally, there was a court that ruled differently, an appellate court that ruled differently, and the court had to resolve the conflict. But it didn't stay. It didn't postpone or block those earlier court rulings saying, well, we're going to wait and see if there's going to be any different ruling. They now have on their plate 37 states, most of them through court decisions, where same-sex marriage is legal. And I don't know how you roll the clock back. That's the problem, practical problem, that in some ways the court would face. And it's hard to imagine that the justices didn't think about that at the time that they decided not to review those decisions upholding the right to marry for same-sex couples.
Is this going to be, when the decision comes out, cut and dried one way or another? Either same-sex marriage is legal or it's not? Or is this one of those cases where how the opinion is written, the scope of the decision, could be important for what the states can do going forward?
Well, certainly the scope of any decision is important because it may resolve questions more than marriage, or it may not. But I don't see any way that you can divide this one in half. Either there is the right to marry for same-sex couples in every state in the union, or there isn't. And then the fallback position is, well, okay, if there's not, then even the states where it's not legal, those states are going to have to possibly would have to recognize the states where it is legal. That in itself is the fallback position. So that's why you have the second question argued.
This is Friday. We are speaking on Friday afternoon. Just yesterday, Governor Rick Snyder here in Michigan signed a law which says that faith-based adoption agencies don't have to help a same-sex couple with adopting children. Could laws like that one be the next wave of cases that end up working their way up to the Supreme Court, especially if the court does rule that same-sex marriage is legal throughout the country?
Well, that one in particular might be one, but then you can have permutations on that. Supposing the faith-based agency gets state support, financial support, that changes the equation yet again. That's certainly possible, but there are lots of adoption agencies who are not faith-based. So that's certainly one of the ideas. I'm sure there are some states. I think it's in North Carolina this week that the state legislature overrode the governor's veto and therefore put into effect a law that said that county clerks or whoever gives out marriage licenses don't have to do it if in good conscience it violates their conscience. You know, whether a law like that could stand, I don't know, but I'm sure that there's going to be some test of laws like that. And then I think much more likely are the laws that may try to curtail who has to provide public services. So a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, so to speak, and people go to a store that's otherwise open to the public and they're rejected because they're gay. That kind of a law might well be tested and make its way to the Supreme Court. So far, the court has declined to hear those cases and has, by inference, but certainly not by court decree, refused to allow those practices to take place. That, by those practices, I mean those, for want of a better expression, discriminatory practices take place.
You reported on the justices' previous statements and actions regarding same-sex marriage, which includes striking down the Defense of Marriage Act in 2013. Legally, how big a leap is it from striking down DOMA to saying that states cannot ban same-sex marriage?
Well, obviously, it wasn't that big a leap because something like 30 federal courts decided that the Supreme Court had sent a clear message when it struck down the Defense of Marriage Act that marriage between two people is protected by the Constitution, even if they're of the same sex. Having said that, though, there are people who in the federal courts who don't agree with that. They're very few. But Justice Scalia in dissent, when they struck down DOMA, Justice Scalia in dissent said, you know, essentially, you are sending a clear message that what you're going to do here next is uphold the right to same-sex marriage. And most of the federal courts who then had to rule on it heard the decision and they heard that dissent and they agreed with Scalia and they went ahead and did exactly what Scalia forecast that they were going to do.
Nina Totenberg, thank you very much for your time.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Nina Totenberg is legal affairs correspondent for NPR. She joined us from Washington, D.C. Links to Nina Totenberg's reporting on this year's Supreme Court term can be found at WMUK.org.